The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And good morning once again, 8 a.m. Central Time, Monday, January 9th, 2023. We're broadcasting from Texas, of course, through the Galaxy 19 network. For those of you joining us on Rents Radio and 7.490 on the shortwave bands, as well as AM and FM stations across the country, welcome aboard for our second hour. And of course, you know, we spend a lot of the first hour listening to the commentary of a lot of our listeners out there, which we dearly appreciate. Because see, here's the thing about connecting with the show. And I understand that you really, a lot of you want to call up and vent, which I get that. It's really important that you do. There's stuff on your mind. You have a right to free speech. 844-769-2944 is our toll-free number. And the thing is that by connecting with the show, and you give us your first name and where you're calling from, and it tells the rest of our listeners exactly what other parts of the country are thinking. Because everybody's got opinions. We're all joined together by this show. And so if you all have opinions and you're calling up expressing it, there's probably at least 10,000 of our other listeners that agree with every single thing you're saying. But until you actually call up and you have this conversation, until you actually call up and have a conversation with me, do people actually know what you're thinking? Because you got to call and you got to voice your opinion. That's the way this show works. We try to make it available as much as we can and give you as much time as we can. You know, obviously, there are some days where we stack up callers like nobody's business. And if that's the case, I hate to be the one to be the bearer of bad news, but sometimes we have to cut your opinions short so we can accommodate the opinions of others. And for that, I apologize profusely that, you know, I can't give you all the airtime, but there are people that like to vent. And I get it. You have a right to vent. And if we had hours and hours and hours to talk about it, I would say, great, let's do it. But we only have two. So anyway, we have to move on because we have the modern day Indiana Jones with us. Tim Alberino is a consummate explorer. His inquisitive mind and insatiable appetite for adventure have led him all over the planet in search of lost cities, lost civilizations, hidden treasures, legendary creatures. I wonder, UFOs, other life. There's other life on this planet. We've heard about reptilians. I mean, everybody's heard, you know, Hillary Clinton looks like a snake. I'm like, oh, okay, you had a bad dream. I get it. Or did you? Bigfoot, you know, other cryptids, UFOs, alien abduction, transhumanism. There are people out there that swear they've been abducted and they were taken up to a ship and prodded and probed and all sorts of other weird things. Occult conspiracy. I mean, we're living in that right now because we're undergoing a spiritual war, are we not? TimothyAlberino.com is his website. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, you have a new book out, and it's called Birthright, The Coming Post-Human Apocalypse. And I'm like, post-human. Okay, now you got my interest peaked a little bit. Why the label?
Because that is the inevitable future. We are headed for a post-human paradigm on planet Earth. And post-human means something other than human. We're transitioning from human to post-human via transhumanism.
And this would be based on the mRNA jabs and garbage like that?
This is based on a whole lot of things that are happening. The vaccine, that technology is just the very beginning of what's called the genetic revolution, which we are entering into. And there's a handful of technologies that are converging. Sometimes they're referred to as the GRIN technologies, genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, and nanotechnology. But there's other biotechnologies that are in the mix as well. And when these things converge, it's going to give us the tools to completely remake ourselves in whatever image we desire, whatever we want to do, we'll be able to do. It's very much like the Tower of Babel scenario, in which God says, whatever, unless I stop them, nothing, they'll be able to accomplish whatever they want. And that's the kind of future we're headed for as it pertains to remaking human biology.
Now, is this going to happen before or after the rapture?
Honestly, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really think too much about the rapture. It seems inconsequential to me, whether it's before or after, because the times that we're already entering into now are pretty dark. And if you were a Yazidi Christian, for example, a few years ago, you were already undergoing some pretty intense tribulation. So, that really doesn't enter into my equation very much.
Yeah, the reason I asked that question, Tim, is because of the fact that, you know, we have a lot of callers here that at a point in time think that we're in mid-trib or we're just starting trib or it's going to get, you know, the mark of the beast. I mean, a lot of people, as soon as the chip came out and people started talking about transhumanism and chipping people, and then you were going to not be able to buy or sell anything unless you had the chip in your hand, and you were going to starve, and this is all just intent on wiping out all of those who don't want to follow the dragon. And the thing is that, you know, we already know we're in a spiritual war here, and how much in detail your book goes into, because this is called Birthright, The Coming Post-Human Apocalypse. Obviously, apocalypse is not a very good outcome.
No. I mean, like I said, we are what I describe in the when I just talk about the post-human apocalypse, I'm referencing the events that are going to unfold in the book of Revelation that are documented in the book of Revelation. And all of this is headed towards the pinnacle, which is Armageddon. And I think we have a poor understanding of Armageddon because we see it as a human political conflict with Israel. Rather, I believe that Armageddon is a kinetic war with the returning Christ. It's a conflict with God, and that's why we're seeing this insurrectionary attitude towards God and this hatred of Christ that's developing in society right now.
Well, the good book already says that, you know, Christians are going to be persecuted and some of them will be caused to put to death and their own children will be the ones that rise up and cause their parents to be put to death. I mean, the Bible speaks of it. Families are going to turn on families and they're going to rat each other out to a government that really doesn't care whether you live or die. And so, you know, when they show up at your doorstep, it's like, okay, you have a choice. If you know they're there to kill you, then, you know, do you have a right to take out several of them in the process? You know, because that's, you know, if you're going to take my life away, I deserve the right to take your life away. And see, this is the sort of thing that, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I mean, there's so many conflicting stories about this, but see, this is what Koresh geared up for at Waco, and look what the United States government did to him. I keep asking the same question. How many Ruby Ridges and Wacos do we need for people to wake up and understand what's going on around them?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to get pretty intense. And again, to go back to the post-human apocalypse that's looming on the horizon like a hurricane, in the next couple of decades, things are going to get really dicey for people because you're going to have to make a fundamental choice, which, you know, humanity has never really had to make before. And that is to remain human or not. You know, you mentioned the jab earlier, and, that is just the very beginning. I mean, there are technologies in the coming down the pike right now that are genetic technologies that are going to fundamentally alter some of the trademarks that make us human. I don't know if you know this, but they're predicting. Some scientists did I think it was a decades long study, and they determined that the male sperm count is going to be going to zero. It's going to plummet to zero by the year 2045. And so human reproduction is quickly becoming inviable. And it's going to lead to a scenario in which in order to reproduce, we're going to have to do an in vitro artificial womb thing in the future, and not even in the very distant future. And so even reproduction is going to be genetic modification, artificial wombs. I mean, we are headed there so quickly right now. Most people have no idea that this is the future.
Wow. You know, artificial wombs, that means men can get pregnant, which, you know, I'm sitting there going, you know, you guys that want to sit there and you guys that want to sit there and become mahu, which is the Hawaiian term mahu, is either which way. You want to become like that, and then you want to sit there and call yourself a female. You know, perhaps if there's a way to impregnate you so that you can actually go what women go through, you'd probably say, you know, I don't ever want to do that again. And they should televise it, because they need to see, men need to see the pain of what women have to suffer through in childbirth. And maybe if they did that, because see, I delivered my last daughter at home, classic textbook delivery. And I'll tell you what, if men had to go through what women have to go through when they're delivering babies, they'd shut their effing mouths and we wouldn't have this conversation. But see, now we're in a spiritual war, and you know, this is all part of the game, is trying to get us to doubt who we are, to doubt God's creation. And this is a problem, because this just opens the mind to basically eliminate. And I mean, society's already on its way out the door. Whatever they don't use to kill us by natural process or vaccines or whatever the case may be. And you just talked about the sperm count dropping to the point of zero. I mean, if nobody can reproduce, eventually society's going to die out on its own. We don't need the government's help shrinking the population. And, you know, Paul Ehrlich can just go to hell in my book, as far as I'm concerned, because he's still blathering on about, you know, all this, you know, population explosion and this is terrible and we're not going to be able to feed everybody. And well, you know, and then we see all these plants being burned down, and we see Tesla's Musk talking all about the fact we've got brain chips that we can implant in your mind. This is all part of this technology, isn't it?
Yeah, and speaking of Elon Musk has been continually saying that his great concern is a collapse in the population that's coming. And because there is a collapse coming, as I said, you know, we are going to become reproductively inviable. And that's going to be a major, major problem. But what's interesting is that just as the human species, and by the way, part of the reason why, the main reason why the sperm counts are declining. Obviously, there's lots of factors that go into that, including the chemicals in the atmosphere and our food and so forth. But so there's a factor of chemical castration going into that. But I would say the primary factor is what's called genetic degeneration. I talk about that in my book. The fact that the human genome is deteriorating, it's degrading to such a point that we're seeing an explosion in cancer and other genetic diseases. The human genome, we have identified some 10,000 genetic disorders in the human genome, in the human populace, because we have what's called a mutational load. And the mutational load refers to all of the mutations, all of the deleterious, the negative mutations that we have accumulated for thousands of years. And it just stacks. And so we have degenerated from the prototype, you know, and in the biblical worldview, that's Adam. And so our genetic clock is expiring. But what's interesting is right at the same time that this is happening, coincidentally, we have dovetailing with genetic degeneration and the inviability of the human species for reproduction. We have all of these robotic technologies getting ready to come online. So as the human populace begins to decline, it will not be very difficult to replace human beings in the workplace with robots. In fact, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but The first McDonald's, there's a McDonald's, I don't remember where it is, but it's fully automated now. And so, you know, we're going to see increasingly robots replacing humans. And as sci-fi as that sounds, anybody who thinks that that's a ridiculous notion should go on YouTube and type in Boston Dynamics robots dancing and take a look at the advanced humanoid robots that Boston Dynamics, who works with the Defense Department, who works with DARPA, has created. They are just absolutely amazing how advanced those robots are. So it won't be long before we have robots patrolling the streets and not only working in McDonald's, but patrolling our streets and fighting our wars.
Yeah, that's amazing how that works. And see, the thing is they all operate off of electronics. And it's almost like at that point in time, when we get to that period in our history, when robots start attacking the American citizen, we're all going to be praying that somebody launch an EMP strike, because that will kill all their electronics.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, we're all going to pray for that. I never wish that kind of horror on mankind. 9 out of 10 people will be dead within a year if that happens. That's another technology that is readily available. And everybody who is in denial of that is fooling themselves. There are 316 million Americans are not prepared for what's coming. And I mean, that's statistical data that's out right now, whether it's true or not. What's your take on it?
EMPs?
Yeah, any of this, the food shortage, the whole nine yards. I mean, 316 million Americans are not prepared. They're not prepping. That's
no,
the term.
No, they're not. Most people, yeah, like I said, you know, we're headed for a scenario here that is even beyond people's ability to imagine. But it's coming at us very, very quickly. You know, who knows how far this conflict in between Russia and Ukraine is going to escalate. And, you know, if NATO gets offensive with Russia, then, you know, you could be looking at a scenario in which all hell breaks loose and nuclear exchange and EMPs. And you got North Korea sitting over there. They'd like nothing more than to detonate a nuclear bomb in our atmosphere and shut down our electronics. So, yeah, I mean, it is it's always a worrying scenario.
Well, it's like what Obama or Osama bin Laden had said, you know, we'll just sit there, we'll sit back and we'll give people the tools to make America choke on itself. And we'll sit back and we'll laugh because we'll see the infidel destroying itself from within. And so, you know, this is what would happen if EMP actually hit. And I'm being told in my little message boxes that the robotic McDonald's that you talked about is located in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So for those of you out there that are just curious to know where it is, you know, I don't know that I really, it's like, what am I going to, robotic McDonald's, and what are they going to serve, fake meat? I mean, it's like, you know, I don't even trust this. McDonald's, you see, to me now is woke. And, you know, when Super Size Me came out, I just started like, oh, we can't go there anymore. I mean, you see how sick this guy got? I mean, this is just one of the things that, one example of wokeness that people just, you know, they all look at this thing as a matter of convenience. Little do they know this technology. I mean, it even says in the Bible about how in the end times technology would increase. And this is exactly what's happening.
Well, the technology is going to replace the worker. And so what you're going to have is inevitably you're going to have a universal income. And that's part of the reason why the globalists are pushing universal income, because they plan on replacing most workers with robots. And again, this is something that's not on most people's radars, but it is developing at light speed behind the scenes, because, you know, it may be very expensive initially to replace your staff with an automated robotic system, but you only have to do it once. And the only human being you have to pay is the guy that goes in and maintains the robot. So it in the long run, it's a much cheaper strategy. You don't have to worry about people going on strike. You don't have to worry about, you know, altercations with your staff. So the service industry is going robotic very, very quickly. It's going to be sort of a crescendo. This thing with McDonald's is, I mean, it's going to be a domino effect, is what I wanted to say. This thing with McDonald's is just the very beginning. It's sort of a proof of concept. And once they work out all the bugs, industry after industry is going to fall to automation. And the globalists are perfectly aware of this. It's their plan. What's going to have to accompany this is a universal income for all those people, all those low wage earners who no longer have jobs at McDonald's and places like it. So it's, like I said, it's absolutely inevitable.
Well, the government is conditioning a majority of America right now that don't want to work to sit at home and get a paycheck from the government. I mean, the money's going to run out at some point in time. This Congress is going to choke off those and see we're lacking manufacturing. And the unions, I'm going to get a lot of people bitching at me because the unions are going to have become the downfall because they sit there and push and push and push because when you get corporatism starting to ride herd on the human element in business, then the human element comes and it mobilizes itself in the form of labor unions. And they say, hey, and this is where the democratic society came in because the unions always endorsed the democratic condition. The problem is, though, the unions actually created their own demise.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it. They don't understand it. And people go, oh, the unions are strong and you can't blast the unions. Look, I get both sides of the coin. But you see, when the unions start overextending themselves, where does corporatism go? Outside the country. They move manufacturing into the maquiladora, into China, and every place else but the United States. And manufacturing is what started to make this country great. And we went, you know, woefully wrong with that. And now it looks like manufacturing's coming back, but it's coming back in a different way, in a way that may not be that pleasant for much of America in our future, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree. I think ultimately America is going to have to bring a lot of that manufacturing back. And it is going to be an interesting scenario with the unions, how that works, because, we have Mexico still, and Mexico manufactures things cheaper than China now. So, but a lot of that manufacturing is coming back, at least to our hemisphere. And it's an interesting situation that's unfolding, mentioning China. That's another situation that's difficult to read where that's going to go. Either the future belongs to China or China is going to fizzle in the next decade and nobody knows which way it's going to go. China's facing a population problem as well. They have a lot of people that are retiring and they don't have a lot of young people to replace them. And it's a huge burden, you know, on their economy. And one wonders if that was part of the purpose of COVID that was created in their lab over there at Wuhan.
For sure. All right. So the number is 844-769-2944. If anybody wants to chime in on our conversation, this is pretty heavy. And I know a lot of you out there have your thinking caps on and you're critically thinking about everything we're talking about. And that's why we're opening the phone lines. You can talk to Tim Alberino and put your two cents in this thing. A majority of you already believe that we're in spiritual war, but now they're taking this into a technological advanced stage where, they literally, I mean, first San Francisco, for example, was talking about armed robots that could go in and defuse the situation. But I mean, they could literally turn those armed robots on the average American citizen and put them 6 feet under. So I've got to ask, you know, now they've said, oh, well, we're going to walk that back. But you see, the Biden administration and all of this garbage that's going on right now, they're letting all of what they claim is cheap labor coming across the border. And these people are leaving their existing environments because they don't like what's going on in their existing environments, because most of them are already into socialism. If it's not Europe, it's South America. I mean, look what happened in Brazil right now with protesters storming the Capitol down there over the weekend. And so, you know, they literally destroyed most of the Capitol. So, you know, and the United States, of course, is condemning it. The United States keeps opening their mouth, and all of these Congress people keep using that word democracy when we're anything but. They don't want to acknowledge it because they've already got the game plan in motion. They already know what's in our future. They just haven't pulled the wool over our eyes enough to fool us. And I think half this country is starting to, or in a position to where they're mostly awake and the critical thinking caps are starting to come back on. What's your feeling about that? You think we're becoming more aware of what they're trying to do?
Yes, but we have a big problem. The only way that we can really effectuate change in America is by voting. And that at one point in time was a pretty good system, although it's always been rigged to some extent going all the way back to the beginning. But now, you know, I think we've completely lost control of some of these key states in terms of the voting apparatus. I think it's completely rigged at this point. And so I just wonder, even if you have a surge of people who are waking up and moving away from the left, how are we ever going to be able to get a hold of the levers of power in terms of voting to make sure that, you know, this unscrupulous activity that's been going on the last few cycles ceases? It's just I don't foresee a future in which that changes. And that's a real problem. It's probably the biggest problem facing America right now. Even if you have, like I said, a mass awakening, the system is rigged in too many states, such as Pennsylvania.
Yep, it is. All right, Joe in Arkansas, you're on the air with Tim Alberino here on the show. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Your guest was talking about how human genetics have been degenerating over the millennia, and I completely agree. And I have a book called You Are What Your Grandparents Ate, and this woman that wrote this book has done tremendous research on how unhealthy diet and unhealthy lifestyle, you know, causes human genetics to deteriorate and how it can be reversed. If people go back to a really good healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle, then the degeneration reverses and the human genetics start regenerating. And I've experienced this myself. I've experienced a lot of regeneration in my lifetime. I was really messed up when I was younger, and I've been spending my whole life wanting to know how to get better. And I found that two of the most important things that you can do if you want to regenerate your genetics so that humans can have a better future instead of a post-human future is go to a really good diet. You know, raw food diet and paleo diet, I think, are the best. If you go to really good raw food and paleo diet and you know, as much as you can organic, that's one way to start regenerating your genetics. And another thing that I've found a tremendous benefit from is grounding, you know, being in direct contact with Earth so that you receive life-supporting, healing energy from the Earth. I think those are two of the most important things that we can do to start regenerating our genetics instead of letting them degenerate any further.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, it's a great idea. It's a good solution. We're all about solutions here on the show. The thing is, according to Tim's book, Birthright, The Coming Post-Human Apocalypse, he thinks that no matter what we do, we're doomed anyway. But, you know, a lot of it is our attitude. If we have the attitude that we're not going to be beat in this game that they're trying to pull, I mean, we have to pull that lever and say no. We will be back after the bottom of the hour break with Tim Alberino. We're going to be talking about this book he's got out, Birthright, The Coming Post-Human Apocalypse. You can chime in by hitting our toll-free number. You know what that is. We'll join you after the break. Stay with us.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joy Schmiley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that. And I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time. I know for those of you that have just joining us for this last segment of the Power Hour, we're here with Tim Alberino. He's got a book out called Birthright, The Coming Post-Human Apocalypse. And Carol in Arizona. Wow. Good morning to you. You're on the phone with Tim. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Yes, first of all, I'm about halfway through Mr. Alberino's book, and I think it's fantastic. So much information there. But my question is, if you have Rh negative blood, are you, in your opinion, able to be saved?
Yes, absolutely.
That is wonderful, because I was thinking, because so many people say it's Nephilim blood, and if that's so, that you can, it's not possible for God to save you.
No, that's nonsense.
So I appreciate your opinion.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't worry about that. That's nonsense. There's no, that's just complete fantasy.
All right,
I'm glad you're enjoying
that's
the book,
to
by
know.
The way.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for writing it. So much good information. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for reading
it. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Carol. Thanks for your call. Wow, there you go. Boy, I tell you what, you couldn't pay for that kind of press. I'll tell you, this is the thing. We're talking about people who, and there's going to be an apostasy. There already is. We already know that people are leaving the church. I've always said that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Walking the walk and talking the talk makes you a Christian. And so the thing is that Christianity, it's a label. Your belief in the Almighty, your belief in his son is what gets you there. And I'm talking about your final resting place up there with him. And now you have to, first off, and we get into this big thing about people who don't even believe in the Bible, and they call themselves agnostics because they don't know actually what they believe in. Atheists basically don't believe in God at all. You get into this philosophical argument. How much of that does your book step on?
A lot, actually. You mentioned apostasy, and the word apostasy, apostasia, actually, what it really means is rebellion, insurrection. And I think I don't believe that it's just confined to the context of Christians and churches, and because that's the traditional view of apostasy, is that what it means is that Christians are going to be turning away from the faith. But in reality, what apostasy intimates is a rebellion against God. That there's going to be, it's Psalm 2. It's the nations conspiring. They're plotting a vain thing. They're plotting to overthrow or to forestall the return of the king. And they're going to make open war. And when I say open war, I'm not talking about spiritual war. I'm talking about kinetic war with God. And this is the vain thing that they're believing in their hearts. And God's response is to laugh at them, to hold them in derision. And I believe that apostasy is nothing short of a rebellion against God and the desire to make war with him.
Okay, and that we understand. And of course, I'm getting stuff in here like Mark Wahlberg, why y'all blaming God for your problems? Most of y'all's problems came from not listening to him to begin with. So, you know, when you're talking about stuff like this, you know, people, and it's always when all hell breaks loose in their life that they all of a sudden, you know, start praying. And it's just like, you know, why now? Why do you have to wait? And the Bible even talks about, you know, when thou art in trouble, thou shalt pray and thou shalt glorify me and I will, you know, comfort thee. A lot of this stuff to most people doesn't make sense biblically. They're still grappling. And they say, you know, a lot of them say, well, the Bible is just nothing but a bunch of book of full of stories that don't mean anything. And what they've done is, you know, modern day religion has taken the Old Testament, separated it from the New Testament. The truth of the matter is the Old Testament is our historical perspective. The New Testament is for our application. And the New Testament actually starts in the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if truth be told, those books are the actual culmination of the Old Testament, because that's prophecy fulfilled in those four books. It makes sense. And the Acts is when the new church starts. The church is the body of believers in Christ, according to what the good book says. And people, you know, I'm sure that does not conflict with your opinions that are expressed in this book.
Not at all. Not at all. I affirm the gospel of Christ. In fact, the through narrative of my book is the gospel of Christ, and one of the most important questions of our time, and I referenced this earlier, is I said whether or not to remain human, but the question that precedes that is what does it mean to be human? And I deal with that question in the book because it's exceedingly important, especially as it pertains to the gospel of Christ. You know, the previous caller was concerned about the Rh negative blood and whether or not there's a salvific ramification there. In other words, whether or not you can be saved if you have Rh negative blood. And of course, the answer is yes, you can, because there's only one qualification. There's only one stipulation for qualifying for the redemption in Christ, and that is you must be human. You must be a son or a daughter of Adam, because the Son of God became a man to redeem mankind. And again, that's relevant because we're facing a post-human future. We are undergoing a transition, and we will be increasingly undergoing a transition from human to post-human. In other words, human to non-human. And not everyone, of course, not us, not most of your listeners, but the rest of society is going to be making this transition in the following decades. And so, wow. And we have to understand that the gospel of Christ pertains to mankind. You must be human to qualify for salvation. That's why posthumanism is an apocalypse for the human species. And as this may all sound very confusing, but I do lay all of this out in the book.
There you have it. Brady in Las Vegas. Go ahead. You're on the phone with Tim Alberino. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to bring up the point that all through these last few years, the Bible warned us about the mark of the beast. And all them people, 5 out of 7, got that mark of the beast. Now you're a product of the company that gave you that mark, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Merck. You are a product because they patented that DNA genetics that they put into you with the jab. So I don't feel, I do agree kind of with, God does not recognize you then because you have taken that God gene away from you. The 1p36 gene has been deleted and replaced with genetic DNA from the snake and the devil. That's the way I look at it.
Brady, that's some pretty scary stuff you put out there, because I know a lot of families right now who's, you know, their bosses forced them, and we got all these nurses in New York getting ready to go on strike. I mean, the whole damn city's going to shut down. They're not going to have medical care. And you're talking about somebody that, like the nursing and the health care, all these people were told you either take the jab or you lose your job. Jab or job, which one is it? And the people that said, no, you're not putting that crap in my body. What about the people like in the military who vowed to serve our country and they said, well, we came in to get our flu shot, and the military lied to them and they got the jab instead? And it's like, look, they didn't want that jab. You know, I mean, you knowingly would have to take something like that. Don't you think God would forgive if you unknowingly were fooled? Or is it because of the fact that you basically left yourself wide open to be fooled?
Are you asking me?
Well, I did.
Oh. Both of you. I want to hear what Brady has to say. I want Tim's reaction to that. That's a valid point you make, Brady. But it's scary stuff.
Well, again, we've been warned. Out here in Vegas, I sat with the nurses that were losing their jobs. I went out 3 times and protested on the strip here in Vegas. And I even stood up and I said, this is the mark of the beast, people. And they looked at me like I was absolutely nuts. But after 2 years later, all this stuff with the genetics of that, the DNA from the black goo, you had a guest on last week talking about the black goo, the pharmakia. You know, you're dealing with spirituality, sorcery, black magic. It's all put into that jab that people decided to take just in order to save their job. And know how many times that I sat and told them through the years, almost all my family here got the jab. 90% of my family, and I pleaded and begged and got in arguments like you wouldn't believe about it, but they all lined up and got the jab because they were doing the right thing for humanity, and they really were.
They trusted their
quite the
government.
Opposite, you know?
Yep, they trusted their government, Brady.
So I just tell everybody, if you're hearing this right now, don't ever think about getting any type of jab ever in the future. It's all been infested with the mRNA genetic technology that's designed to take humanity away from the world and replace it with AI and Satan. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I appreciate your input on that this morning, Brady. Tim, do you want to? Is he right on?
Well, I would agree that this new technology is very dangerous, and we should avoid it at all costs because it, at the very least, it turns your body into a spike protein factory. But there's also some indications that reverse transcription does happen, and it does alter your DNA. Although in the beginning, I was very skeptical of that because usually mRNA does not do that. But there seem to be some factors that have been introduced into this into the mix that allow for that to happen, even are there specifically so that to enable that to happen. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's leaning in that direction that it does look like it can alter some part of your genome. But as it pertains to the Mark of the Beast, I don't believe that this vaccine is the Mark of the Beast. I don't think, you know, we can't have the Mark of the Beast until we have the Beast.
And well, that's true.
And as you rightly said, it's a willful choice. It's a decision that people will make. It's not something that people get duped into. It is a very conscious decision, and it is a decision to follow this person who I identify as Apollo, the son of perdition, who we sometimes call the Antichrist, who is going to arise in the earth. And when he's on the scene, it's not going to be obscure the fact that this is the Mark of the Beast. And it will be a willful decision with dramatic consequences. So yes, I agree that the vaccine was very dangerous technology, but I would disagree that it's the Mark of the Beast.
Well, I'm thinking myself, because they talk about a computer code. They talk, I mean, Revelation 13:18 very clearly identifies 666, which, you know, mRNA does not have that capacity. The chip, however, implanted in your hand or your forehead, which is what the word specifically talks about. You know, this is almost like this movie out there, which is still on YouTube. For those of you out there, my kids totally got into this. It's called Thief in the Night. The Thief in the Night. And it was filmed, I believe, up in Iowa. And it talks all about the Mark of the Beast. And people would go in there, I'm a good world citizen here. Put that right on my forehead. And they put what looked like a barcode on his forehead, imprinted as a tattoo ink. And so, you know, if you got that, then you were going to be a good world citizen. We're headed in that direction. But the thing is that the chip has already been put into some of the military as a test, because there were people who I talked to who said that a military guy came into the store and they waved their hand over the scanner when it came time to check out and their bill rung up and was paid. And the bag boy was so freaked out, he took off and ran, because he had heard this in church that this stuff was going to happen. So we already know the technology is being applied and it's being experimented with. In this day and age, you've heard
that. And the caller hit on something important. He talked about the real danger of the vaccine being the fact that it changes your humanity. And whether that's true or not pertaining to this vaccine, it will be true of the Mark of the Beast, I believe. And so what causes you to be ineligible for salvation when you take the mark is because it will fundamentally alter the human genome and make you something other than human. In other words, post-human, unhuman. And that's why when you take the mark, you no longer qualify for salvation, because, as I said, salvation in Christ is for mankind, the sons and daughters of Adam, full stop. Christ did not die for the angels, and he didn't die for hybrids and post-humans.
Well, and see, point made. Here's the thing. When people are faced with this, and they will at a point in time in the future be faced with this, they're going to have to make a very tough decision. You either can grow your own food, be your own person. You can fight for what's yours. You own land. You have no debt. The Bible clearly says, owe man nothing except to love him. And then you turn around and you fight for what's right. And you say, no, I'm not going to take it. And they'll say, well, we're going to kill you if you don't take it. Then fine, I'm going to take a bunch of you with me if this is the way it's going to turn out. We're all going to be faced with a very tough decision, knowing what the odds are, unless we rise up as a state, as a community, and fight this thing. You know, this is, again, our hope of all of this is now in question, according to what we've been discussing this last hour, Tim, wouldn't you think?
No, well, when we talk about this post-human apocalypse and Armageddon, what we know as Christians, we know that the culmination of all of this is victory, is epic victory, and that is Christ absolutely vanquishes the beast and the empire of the beast. And that is, you know, that's the end of the story, at least this chapter. And so our hope, as always, as a Christian, my hope is in Christ and always in the resurrection. And if we were, for example, the early church, see, the ebb and flow of history is not just a straight plummet to darkness and an apocalyptic future. It's the ebb and flow of history is like a wave. It comes in waves. You have good times, you have bad times. You have good times, you have bad times. And, you know, throughout history, there's been some really awful times to be alive, much worse than this time. You know, the Black Plague comes to mind, and the 600 years of the Catholic Inquisition, you know, where they would break you on the wheel if you held a doctrine that was contrary to the churches in some cases. And so there was always very, very, very difficult times. I mean, the early church was fed to the lions in the Colosseum and burned alive as Roman candles in Nero's palace in Rome. So, you know, I'm not trying to paint a picture here that's just gloom and doom. No, I think we have, in some sense, we're very privileged to be alive at this time and to see the things that are unfolding and to hold fast, for those of us who are believers, to hold fast to our faith in Christ and to be more than conquerors in the dark hour that's coming. So it's not all negative in my mind. I think, you know, we were all born to be alive. We were all destined to be alive at this time. And I think we ought to be full of hope and joy and valor and to do exactly what your previous caller was doing, to warn people and to try and turn people to Christ.
Well, and that's the thing, because I go to 1 Thessalonians 4 a lot when I'm looking at Scripture, because we're talking about, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He wants you to be holy during these times, and that means resisting the temptations, the earthly temptations of the devil. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. And this is that spiritual war that you're talking about. It's the challenge to try to not attack the Holy Spirit itself. God is spirit. He that worships him, according to John 4:24, in spirit and in truth. But the thing is that he would not have you ignorant. And this is a thing where we have a lot of conflict because people, you know, they look at this situation. God says, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so with them also which sleep in Jesus, which are those that are already dead, buried in Christ, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It doesn't matter how we get there. The fact of the matter is, are we going to get there? That's the question we have to be asking ourselves, isn't it?
No, that's right. And I would add the verse from 2 Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
There you go.
And that I think should be our guiding principle, not to be afraid, but to trust in God and to remember that he's given us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And so again, my you'll see if people who read my book, it's not like believe me, it does not end on a negative note.
I understand that given the diatribe that we've had the last hour, Tim, I believe that. I know that it's something that, you know, it's a realization that you put into words. Carol obviously, you know, had some concerns and she read the book and it gave her hope. Because of the thing that, you know, it's not the bloodline. I mean, Adam had a pure blood. They were all pure blood. And as the families commingled and procreated, the bloodlines weakened, but it still did not preclude the fact that if you believe, you still have the power to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, people just need to remember that.
That's right. As long as you remain human, you qualify. As long as you remain human, you're a candidate for redemption, reconciliation, and restoration in Christ.
Yeah, seeing all these people that are out there, you know, twisting in the wind over this genetic problem that they've got, you know, I think I was born just the opposite. When they start doing this and they start altering their person, I really believe that they're toying in the direction of where this book was going.
And that's why the urgency, why I wrote this book is because, as I said in the very beginning, you know, we are in the midst of a genetic revolution right now, although it has not yet. And of course, the vaccine is just one sign that we're rapidly entering this genetic revolution. But there's so much coming in terms of altering the human genome, you know, designer babies. We can already, if we wanted to right now, we could already determine what the eye color, height, hair color, you know, the color of the hair, skin tone and so forth of babies in the womb going to be based on, you know, the modification that we can already do through CRISPR technology. So, you know, we talked about the inviability of the human species and the fact that we're going to be seeing artificial wombs
It's a craziness, Tim. I know we're out of time. I'm hearing the sounder in my ear here. Birthright, The Coming Post-Human Apocalypse by Timothy Albarino. Look for it. And we will see you tomorrow here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. What's left of it.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sarah enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.